Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Pharmaceutical Commerce Podcast. I'm Nico Saraceno, editor of PC. I'm pleased to be joined by Suzanne Kadis, SVP, market leader, and corporate secretary at Datamaran, a software analytics platform. Among multiple topics on today's agenda, she'll be discussing the latest regarding environmental, social, and governance regulations, including where the pharma and biotech sectors can play a role. Suzanne, thank you so much for taking the time to join the show today. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I look forward to our conversation.
So let's just dive right in. There has been an increasing number of ESG regulations that have been impacting both pharma and biotech companies, including TCFD, CSRD, SASB. Would you mind diving in to some of these regulations and just explaining what they consist of and what they include?
Sure. And it's certainly a mouthful of acronyms when you think about the ESG space generally, but particularly in terms of regulation. The amount of regulation that's happening is just exponential in terms of where we were 5 years ago. And really what we're seeing is that what was once voluntary is very much now mandatory. And that pace of change is something that, had you been watching sort of the smoke signals sooner, you would have seen this coming. But I think for a lot of executives, particularly in industries like pharma and biotech, this is game changing. When we look at these regulations, we can debate the differences and the nuances, but ultimately there's one foundational similarity that connects all of them, and that is governance. At the end of the day, what these regulations are asking of corporate leaders is really to be much more transparent about how they determine what are their priority issues, how they're going to manage the risks and opportunities associated with those issues, and how are they going to ensure that they can continue to not only meet compliance requirements, but also consider value creation opportunities. If we think about regulation, compliance is really the floor. And ultimately, what these companies also need to keep an eye on is the ceiling. How can they differentiate? How can they expand into new markets and use effective oversight of ESG issues as a way to open up those opportunities?
And you did mention the compliance component, Suzanne. So having said that, where specifically would you say the responsibility lies for these pharma and biotech companies?
The responsibility lies at the top. The buck stops with the C-suite. And traditionally, teams that were overseeing ESG issues may have been siloed. They may have been managed by usually quite lean teams that have ESG in their title or sustainability in their title, and that just doesn't cut it anymore. So what we're seeing is that there are executive councils, board committees being formed to bring in other leaders and educate those leaders on what do these regulations mean for us and how can we ensure that we are in compliance with where the expectations are going. So for many of our clients, and we work with some leading pharma biotech companies like Bristol Myers Squibb, Merck, Teva, just to name a few, we see that the need really starts with education across these executives, understanding what do these regulations require and expect of us? What does best practice look like? And then it's really about building that foundation and ensuring that they have a way to first and foremost really justify why they are prioritizing certain issues over others. And that gets us to materiality and how companies can use the materiality analysis really as a strategic decision-making process to strengthen their position on these issues while also ensuring compliance. When we see traditional approaches to materiality, you know, we saw that many companies were relying predominantly on stakeholder opinion. Obviously, that can lead to a lot of complications and challenges, such as recency bias, asking the opinion of people that might not really understand your business So it gets back to this process needing to be something that companies internally own, a process that they use strategically, not just sort of as a one-off project, but ensuring that they can say with confidence, we know that these are the issues that matter to us, and here is how we're going to manage those. And that's something that matters not just for regulators, but it also matters for investors. If we look at EU regulation, the CSRD, we can see that there are about 1,144 data points that companies need to report on. Now, many companies are starting with a gap analysis to say, where do we lie on these data points? That's the wrong starting point. The starting point is materiality, the process to determine what is or is not relevant for your company, because then you can be much more thoughtful from a resource standpoint, from a cost standpoint, from a strategy standpoint, on ensuring that the issues you prioritize align with your business model.
I'm curious, you did start to get into the functionality of Datamaran and how it really is able to identify and monitor these types of risks and that nature. Would you be able to maybe provide a bit more detail in terms of it, in terms of how it does that? Because I'm always fascinated in the AI technology behind it and how it actually is able to help provide efficiency to the process.
Efficiency obviously is a major benefit of using technology, but most importantly, it's really about empowering these corporate leaders to make smart and effective decisions. Because as I'd mentioned earlier, many of them are just trying to understand what these issues actually mean for their business. And so rather than spending time on what are the issues, with Datamaran, they can really dig into, okay, how are we going to strategically manage these issues? How can we ensure that we are understanding what are the different requirements and expectations from us? So thinking about the technology, we leverage a form of artificial intelligence, natural language processing, to essentially give focus to these leaders to say, here are the top five, top 10, top 20 issues that you should be prioritizing because this is what regulation is requiring or expecting of you. This is where policymaking is going in the countries in which you operate. This is what your peers are doing or not doing, so you can potentially differentiate yourself. And this is what public opinion thinks on these issues. So ultimately, through the technology, we're pulling together all of this credible information from actual hard laws, from actual voluntary initiatives, from actual news articles, from actual corporate reports, including financial reports, 10K filings. And through that lens, clients have just much more confidence in knowing that they are prioritizing what matters most, and they can essentially set their North Star through this business intelligence.
Well, it's certainly going to be fascinating to see how Datamaran continues to evolve and how it continues to play a factor in this ESG space. So, Susanna, I really want to thank you for taking the time to join us on the show. And I saw recently that you just celebrated 9 years at the company. So congratulations. I appreciate you coming on the show too.
I appreciate you having us. And this is such a fast changing space. The speed of change is just accelerating. So from that point, you know, I think what's next for executives, obviously it's about building the foundation and using technology to really strengthen that foundation, but also recognizing that you have to keep an eye on these issues so you can be agile when responding to different expectations and requirements. So having those executive councils and board meetings where you bring insights and evidence to the table quarter over quarter, month over month, is really going to enable these companies to succeed and achieve good governance.
Thanks, Suzanne. But certainly agility and the ability to pivot on the dime is going to be essential for a matter like this. So again, I appreciate the time today.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And for all you listeners, be sure to stay in the loop of our latest updates via our website at pharmaceuticalcommerce.com or on our SoundCloud page. Take care, everyone.